Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 77 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltak. Thanks for joining me again. Today's podcast brought to you by Vortex, the power of optics. So today on the show, I'm going to have Wilson come on. We're going to talk about the Integrity March, and I've got a couple of other comments just to make just before I bring her on. Number one, I want to talk about the march myself real quick. So, and a couple of things. Well, number one, thank you so much, everybody, for coming. You know, Tracy and I and, you know, everyone else at the CCFR, all our volunteers, we set the groundwork, and that's all we could have done. That was as much power as we had to shape the outcome. And it was all up to you guys out there to just jump in your cars and come on down and meet with your fellow gun owners and make it a success. And you did. You did in every possible way. So thank you so much for doing that, for backing us up, for having that plan and trying it. And you were there to help. So I really, really appreciate it. It was just a fantastic event all the way around. I'm not going to talk too much about it because we'll talk about it with Tracy. But what I did want to talk about is the role of the media in this whole thing. So as I had mentioned before, the media, you know, they largely ignored us. We got a few stories. The coverage wasn't great. But basically, I wanted to make sure that we're setting the record straight. So now a couple of people were like, you know, CBC didn't show up and, you know, this and that. And they did. Okay, so I never want someone to take a beating for something they did or didn't do if they don't deserve it. And if they do deserve it, I want them to be fully accountable for it. So here's what actually happened. So CBC did a small bit on the 11 o'clock news, national news, on Saturday night. Okay, so it was about 15 seconds or so. I think it might have been under 15 seconds, but anyway, I captured it. I'll use it for something somewhere down the line. The Ottawa Citizen did a great story about the march, a little bit more in depth than the other story that was floating around. So thank you to the Citizen for doing that. They got the number wrong, right? It wasn't 800 or hundreds of marchers. It was thousands. We think between 4,000 and 5,000. We've had a couple of people out there do some pretty detailed calculations and have found that somewhere between, we think the number is 4,800 if we were to pick one out of the air, but that's what we think it was. So it's not us trying to inflate our numbers. That's how many people showed up. And I don't know if you guys saw that aerial photograph. I don't know where it came from. I kind of don't want to know where it came from because that's controlled airspace there. But at around 600 feet, there's a picture and you can see that our line is almost a kilometer long. Yeah, a lot of people showed up. Anyway, so CBC did do a small bit. They did a bunch of interviews with Tracy there. They had cameras there. None of that seemed to have made it anywhere. I guess this, you know, it's just not significant enough for people. The Ottawa Sun, was it the Sun? Yeah, I think so. They did a front page story, but again, they got the part wrong about the attendance. It was thousands, almost 5,000 people, somewhere around there. Not, you know, 800 people. But nonetheless, we appreciate the media outlets that did tell our story. The story was a little bit different than what was told. We're not marching to save our assault weapons. That's not what it was. It was about a lot more than that. In fact, it was a story that most Canadians should be interested in, which is the government is not making you safe. And that's a real problem. Tracy's going to talk a little bit more about that when she comes on. But the majority of the stories that you saw, the one in Global, I think CTV as well. And I think there was one more, CBC as well. That story was one story that was written by the Canadian press. The Canadian press have written a lot of bad stuff about gun owners. And this really was no exception. They, you know, of course they lied. I'm sorry, Canadian press, you're just going to have to live with it. They said that we didn't respond to a request for comment. Completely untrue. They knew about the march and they got our quotes because we sent out a media advisory to 900 journalists on the Tuesday before the march on Saturday. So they had those quotes. They knew full well and they had our coordinates and contact information, including our cell phones. So they knew to contact Tracy and I directly for comment. It was right there. They fished the quotes out. But they didn't they didn't call us for an interview and they said that we declined. The fact of the matter is they probably just didn't want us to add anything that was relevant to how they were shaping that story. And of course, the whole story turned out to be, you know, gun owners are marching on Ottawa. Here's an excuse for us to bring on anti-gun people and have a and write a piece about why people shouldn't have firearms. So, you know, again, I don't think that helps Canadians. Canadians need to really hear the real story, the real reason why people own guns in Canada. Owning guns is nothing new. We've done it for hundreds of years in Canada, like literally since the 1600s, right? There's been guns floating around in Canada all the way up through till today. You know, I mean, it's a fact. It's even in the Canadian Firearm Safety Course, for God's sakes. So, you know, it's not me making stuff up. As my friend over at the Spin Docs would say, it's not my assertion. These are facts. So anyway, you know, but the good news is, that's sort of the bad news. The good news is that we got exactly what we wanted out of it. The integrity march was picked up probably more by the anti-gun people on social media than it was by the mainstream media, and thus created the conversation. And there was a lot of conversations that ensued about the reason why people are marching and the real issues behind why we're opposing a ridiculous gun ban and also the way that it's being done now. So as far as the footage that we got, I couldn't be happier. That's for a couple of other projects to come. You'll see what those are in the coming year or so. And we got what we wanted out of that march. So again, thank you so much for being part of it and for helping me get what I needed out of it on behalf of the CCFR. And it was just it was really great to see everyone. One more anecdote before I bring on Tracy is, you know, we were worried about the weather, right? We were trying to get this done. We had 6 weeks basically to plan and hold this march when we decided we were going to do it, like 6 weeks, right? And we were worried about the weather, right? We were trying to get it in close enough that it would be warm, but not too far away that it interfered with hunting season. And so that's why we chose the date of September the 12th. Well, we were worried about the weather because it's been a little bit unpredictable in Ottawa recently. The day was beautiful. I ran out. I had no breakfast. I ran out with a coffee and didn't put any sunscreen or anything on. I got totally burnt my face because it was hot and sunny. It was great. And then I woke up the next morning and it was dark and cloudy and rainy. So the stars all aligned. I guess the powers that be wanted us to have a great march, and we certainly did. Okay. All right. Hang on 1 second. I'm going to bring on Tracy Wilson. Hey, everybody. This is Rod from the CCFR. In 4.5 years, we've created the most sophisticated and influential firearm rights organization in Canadian history. And when I say we, I mean our team and all of you who have trusted and supported us financially and as volunteers. Together, we've produced television shows, made our presence very well known on Parliament Hill, and taken on the anti-gun establishment as never before. We are in unprecedented times in Canada and around the world. Our goal is to continue to develop the CCFR into an even more formidable organization to better fight for your right to own and use firearms when stability returns. If you can afford it, please continue to support the CCFR by keeping your membership current and/or donating. If you are unemployed, do not do these things. We are an organization with values, and family comes first. If you're in this situation and you still want to support the CCFR, do it by sharing our explainer videos, the podcast, our reports, or our TV show, which is now available for free online on the CCFR YouTube channel. We can come out of this stronger than ever. Look after yourself, your family, and your community. And thank you for supporting the CCFR in any way that works for you. Wilson.
Kiltaka.
Hey, happy birthday, buddy.
Hey, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Well, have you had a good birthday? You had to deal with a bunch of BS this morning and and stress. And yeah, so what could be better?
That's exactly right. No, I'm working today. It's fine. I'm going to do some celebrating with the kids and the sweetheart on the weekend. So perfectly fine.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, we've got a lot of stuff to go through, so I want to kind of get through it as quickly as we can. So Shannon Stubbs has been named the Shadow Minister for Public Safety by the Conservative Party of Canada, and you had a quick chat with her.
Yeah. So Shannon and I actually had a pretty lengthy hour and 15 minute meeting the other day. And in fact, between her and her staff, it was the third meeting we've had since she was appointed to the position, which is a matter of days. So she's absolutely great. She's jumped in with both feet. She's already holding Bill Blair's feet to the fire. Of course, it's a huge file with more in it than just guns, but she is ready, willing, and eager to work on our file. And yeah, the CCFR will be an important resource to Shannon in the coming weeks and months as we fight this gun ban and everything else from the Liberals.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And then I guess we have a lot to talk about the Integrity March. But I've got a quick little anecdote real quick. Okay. Before I let you launch into all the great stories from that experience. So I think the march was fantastic, better than we ever could have hoped. I remember one of the issues that I had was I was quite anxious about how many people were going to show up, right? Because I needed 1,000 so that it was at least 10 times bigger than, you know, the doctor's National Day of Action, you know, which, I guess they're the new preeminent group for the Liberals, but they aren't much of a group to speak of because they really haven't done much, right, other than have a Twitter feed and show up a couple of places. But nonetheless, that's the bar that's set by the anti-gunners. And I had people all morning asking me, you know, how many people are we expecting? Like, do you have any idea? I'm like, no, man, I don't have any idea. So I was really, really pleasantly surprised and overjoyed that the fact that we had somewhere between 4,000 and 5,000 people there. It was just fantastic. And it was just great to rub elbows with everybody, so to speak. And I don't know, it was definitely a moral victory. I know you've got a couple stories yourself, so give her.
Yeah, well, so as you know, the march started at 1 o'clock our time here in Ottawa. And we were over at the hotel. I was supposed to meet with Parliamentary Protective Services around 12 o'clock. So I was a bit late. It was about 12:15. I made my way to the hill with Colin and Yukon Strong, and a bunch of us walked over. And we're 45 minutes before the event's supposed to start. And as I'm coming up the steps onto the main lawn of Parliament Hill, which is sort of raised up, I'm a little vertically challenged, so I couldn't see up there. All I could see was a sea of heads. And as I made it to the top of the stairs, I was in absolute awe at the amount of people that were already there 45 minutes before we got started. Had to be well over 1,000, if not 2,000. And my job from PPS was to sort of corral everybody out onto the grass and get them off of the little roadway that PPS uses. So I turn around and Colin hands me the megaphone and he's like, you know, say something. So I turn around, everyone's kind of looking at me, they recognize me and they're sort of waiting to see what I do. And I grab the megaphone and I hold it up and I'm like, what's up, Canada? And they just went wild. It was like a crowd at a sports event or something. You know, it was sort of my little Braveheart moment. And it went through my chest like thunder. It was wicked. So I pulled everybody out onto the lawn and kind of entertained them while we scrambled to get you there and the volunteers there. And, you know, as I looked around, I thought about all the people who have traveled from all over the place. We had the guy from Regina who had never really traveled anywhere before. He wanted to come, couldn't find anyone to come with him, used his air mile points to come out to Ottawa, came out all alone. And we took him under our wing. He spent the whole weekend with us. We had him volunteering, working on signs, eating meals with us. It was a great time. We had another guy from Sioux Lookout who drove 22 hours to be there. You know, I don't know, partway in his trip, his 2017 truck breaks down. He literally ditches the truck, rents a car to make the rest of the journey. Like, we had guys from the Maritimes there, from New Brunswick. And these guys are under a quarantine of 14 days if they leave the Maritime bubble and come back. So it just goes to show you how committed some of these people were. They weren't missing it for the world. And it makes me so proud. I cannot say enough about our community and the great people who came out that day. So I'll remember that for the rest of my life.
Yeah, it was a great event. And, you know, I've never held much value to the morale aspect of it, right? Because I'm always looking at things like, well, is this going to help gun owners or hurt them, or is it worth it or whatever? I'm always trying to make those cost benefit analysis. But morally, it was really it was really something to be a part of. I think there was some value there, at least for us.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the thing is, you know, sometimes there's a little bit of a selfish motivation, and gun owners have been kicked around for 5 years by this government. And sometimes, even if the end result is just to make you feel a little better or to show you you're not alone or to show that we are a united voice, it is completely worth it. So I regret absolutely none of it. It was perfect.
Well, and as we've all said, you know, there was no garbage left behind. There was no conflict. There was no injuries. There's no damage. The crowd looked great. Mm-hmm. You know, we asked people to dress how they dress at work or dress how they normally dress, which was great. 98% of the people came like that. Yeah. We asked them to use our signs. About 98% of the people did that. So it was a nice, clean looking crowd. Organized, you know, and that's what we wanted to show Canadians. I mean, we had a couple of guys there that were frustrated to the point where they had to, you know, do their own thing. And that's to be expected, right? Like I totally get it. I'm just as frustrated as anybody else.
Right.
But I think our people did a really, really great job, and it was smiles. And, you know, sometimes you get demonstrations or marches or whatever and stuff sailing through windows and fights and people swearing at each other. We had an interaction with Ottawa BLM. I don't know if they were actually BLM or just a bunch of kids that wanted to cause trouble, but they came skating by and saying rude stuff. And everybody that has experienced the gun owners was like, "Hey, how's it going? Hey, how are you? Look at what great weather we had today." And, you know, and they're the friendliest, nicest march you've ever seen. And I think somebody commented on that. And I said, yeah, they're gun owners, man.
That's it. This is the true story of Canadian gun owners. We are everyday people, but I don't even know if that's true. I think we're extraordinary people. So I couldn't be more proud of the folks. I love the videos and stuff everyone's posting online. If you've got something up there, go back and tag me in it so that I can see it. Because from our vantage point, you know, we were up at the front with the bagpipes and everything, and that was great. But I didn't get to see it from the same view as some other people. So I'm loving the videos and the pictures on social media. Make sure you copy us in so I can check it out. But yeah, I felt a lot of people keep telling me that they felt so alone and just so frustrated and so grumpy. And it did feel good just to be together, and we're all in the same boat, and you're not alone. So I loved it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, of course, you know, we knew that the media would largely ignore us, which they did, I think, to a great extent. And then, of course, we had to deal with some media dishonesty. Something that you had a particular bone to pick with is how they simplified our message, I guess.
Yeah. So we put a great deal of effort into, we had multiple different website links. You know, we had the survival guide with kind of instructions for gun owners. It was 5 pages long. We had the original announcement. We had, you know, everything you need to know. We had emails that went out. We sent out a media advisory, excuse me, to over 600 media outlets, you know, journalists that have written, or 900 that write about our topic, multiple social media posts, multiple interviews. And the whole point of the march was we were looking for some integrous decisions. We were looking for lawmakers and parliamentarians to use integrity in their decision making on how to achieve public safety. And of course, targeting legal gun owners isn't it. That was the whole message. Number one, we're not the problem. And number two, you're going to waste a whole bunch of money doing something that's just a political exercise, right? It's theater. And the media, the mainstream media, takes that and spins it to pro-gun activists march on Hill to save their assault weapons. And I was like, are you kidding me? It's not for lack of effort, man. Like, we had literally hundreds of signs, hundreds of flags. The messaging was literally everywhere. There's no way that could have been mistaken. And it still was just spun to pro-gun activists want assault rifles. So incredibly frustrating, but not shocking whatsoever. And then, of course, you've got the main story that was done by the Canadian press. I was on Parliament Hill. We hadn't started yet, and it was already out. And that's basically the story that everybody ran with. And you know, and it said that we refused comment and whatever. Meanwhile, you and I stuck around there afterwards for a good solid hour and a half doing interviews with everybody. And I, you know, I don't know if I've seen any of that footage out there. So, yeah, the media spin is disappointing. But you know what? This was a public relations exercise. And the fact that we couldn't have been any clearer or, you know, used every different platform to put that message out. We couldn't have been any clearer than we were. And they still just took it and spun it to, you know, here's these radical pro-gun activists who want assault weapons. Like, just unbelievable. But
yeah,
it is what it is.
We did this for our own reasons. We did this to get the word out. We get this to, you know, get some conversation happening. And I mean, it's still going strong.
Oh man. You know? Yeah, my phone's going from 7 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night still. So there's a lot. And I mean, you know, it's not just the media alone can't be saddled with the blame for spin, because you've got the accounts like Pauly Sussuvier and the spin doctors for hating gun owners. They you look at their Twitter feeds and it was insane. They posted more about our march than we did. Mm-hmm. They have more tweets and more posts going on and on, every little thing they could think to pick on about the march, more than they posted about it more than we did. And that's, to me, that's kind of funny. And I mean, whatever, they can spin it however they want. At the end of the day, we have all the video and photo evidence to prove that it was a successful, well-attended, professional, peaceful march. So,
yes, it was. And it was funny about the anti-gunners. They were really desperate. And, you know, I'm not saying that to just to say, oh, you're desperate and, you know, I'm living rent free in your head and all this stuff. I'm not saying that as, you know, as a pejorative or something. It's like they really came off like that. And it was, it was like in your face. I mean, you know, the spin docs, you know, Chris probably had 12 tweets in a row. It's like, well, look at this little thing they said and look at that thing and remember this tweet. And it's just like, wow, dude, do you have anything else to say other than don't listen to the CCFR? You know, is that your entire argument?
Well, that's the thing, is their advocacy has been sort of reduced to just slinging mud at us and seeing what sticks, right? And, you know, it doesn't really have to be this way, but this is the place that we're at. And I think when we're doing a march saying, hey, government, you know, we're demanding that you actually do some credible work to fight crime and violence in our streets and make us safer, and please stop wasting our money on baloney like this. And they're just like, CCFR is radical. Like, it's not even working. People are looking at their Twitter feed and they're like, whoa, these guys are unhinged. You wouldn't believe the amount of doctors that contact me. And they're like, I want nothing to do with that. And I'm like, well, I can get a little hyperbolic too sometimes. And it does get to me every once in a while. But that day, our message was very clear. And, you know, asking for credible work on crime and violence. And that resonates with Canadians a lot more than, look at these radical CCFR people. So, yeah. I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know, whatever. They can run their thing any way they want. And I guess that's okay.
Yeah.
What else do I have here on the list? Oh, well, speaking of the spin docs, funny little thing. Just a little while ago, Najma Ahmed, their spokeswoman, tweeted, 80% of Canadians want stronger gun legislation. That's how democracy works. It's a public health issue, needing a public health approach. The proliferation of guns is making us all safe. The answer is in the science. So
did you screenshot that one? I'm going to need you to send that to me.
Oh, dude, I screenshot it. Then I highlighted, the proliferation of guns is making us all safe. And then I said, finally, we have found common ground. I didn't get discouraged and I had faith. Welcome aboard, Najma.
Oh,
and tagged them all in it.
Oh boy.
And you know what? They'll probably get triggered. You know,
they'll get super like, triggered.
Yeah. Like the thing about us is I have no problem having some fun with them too. Right. Like I have no problem doing that. And I don't think it should be like, I truly hate you. It should be like, we totally disagree. Let's spar online. But if I see you in a dark alley, I'm not going to stab you in the neck. You know what I mean? Like it should be, we're still people. And Yeah, I don't know. It's they're a weird group of people, man. Really strange.
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, that'll probably make them super angry. well, what can you say, man? You know, it's like I can't help them themselves. Anyways, all right.
It's it's my birthday or something.
Yeah, exactly. That was Najma's birthday present to you. Here, play around with this for at least for one day.
Thanks, Najee.
Yeah. Najee. were you going to elaborate on that? And you're like, I got nothing.
We're best buds. We're besties.
For sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, unless you got anything else to add, we'll hang it up here.
No, that's about it for now. And we'll talk next week.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 77 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Once again, I'd like to thank the folks over at Vortex Canada. Vortex, the power of optics. I'm really grateful for them to continuing to support the podcast. And I'm just really grateful to all you guys out there, especially in hard times, continuing to support the CCFR. We couldn't do it without you. We couldn't do the march without you. We couldn't take the government to court without you. So I just, you know, credit yourself as much, if not more, than crediting us. You know, people say thank you to us all the time. As I said to a lot of people at the march, you know, me and Tracy would be standing here by ourselves and nobody would, you know, would lift a finger to find out what's going on without everybody that supports us. You know, the strength, as strong as the CCFR is how many people are supporting us. That's where our strength comes from. So, you know, I know it sounds like something that you should say to people, but I mean it from the heart. We'd be nothing without you guys. So thank you so much for your support. As I said, for showing up for the Integrity March. If you missed it, I think it was your loss because it was a really great time. If you want to become a member, we greatly appreciate it. You can do that at firearmrights.ca. If you want to tell people about why we were marching, tell them to go to integritymarch.ca. That's another good one. And again, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.